Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm living my best life. Yeah, yeah.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Brian Weber.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. Eisen's a legend.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
Do you know who I am? I'm a guy on television. I have my own show.
And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Brian Weber.
It's another hour of the program, and it's so good to have you with us always. An honor to being for Rich and the fellas. And remember, not only am I keeping the chair warm for the face of NFL Network, their original hire, Rich has a phenomenal ensemble. So theoretically, I have to come close to being nearly as entertaining and compelling as the Fab Four, Brockman, TJ Jefferson, my guy Del Tufo. There's a lot of stress being thrown my direction. I will do my best not to destroy the brand that Rich has worked so hard as an entrepreneur to build, meaning I'm happy to chat with you at 844-204-7424. Candidly, your best way to get involved is on the X platform, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Coming up in 40 minutes, we'll say hello to our first of two guests today. Keith Law has been covering baseball for many years. Very thoughtful analyst. You probably have read and seen his work at ESPN. He has taken his talents to The Athletic. So we'll talk about what's wrong with the Yankees, what has been working for the Mets beyond Grimace, the most annoying of the McDonaldlands character, and why can't anybody hit anymore in Major League Baseball? And that is not hyperbole. That is factual. I realize that the audience is always changing, especially when it's a fill-in hack like yours truly in the chair. Mentioned in passing in the last hour of the program, baseball's entire motivation with the rule changes last year had two goals in mind. Speed the game up, mission accomplished with the pitch clock. Try to get the ball in play more, because analytics has made it all about home runs and strikeouts. Well, the shift was designed to give hitters a chance, a better opportunity of getting the ball through back to the standard alignment as opposed to overloaded on most likely the right side of the infield, and it hasn't worked at all. Now, maybe this is just a momentary cycle where pitchers are far more dominant than hitters, but Keith is real thoughtful and he knows history. Feels like something a lot bigger is going on, and maybe baseball is going to have to make even more tweaks to keep the game relevant. That is coming up. Speaking of hyperbole, as we talk no NBA for the first hour, I'm going to give myself a self high five after we had a long NBA week together, if you've been with me since Monday. Justifiably so, it was the biggest news cycle going on during a holiday week. The head coach of Serbia, because if you're not paying attention, and I don't blame you, the Olympics, in my view, do not have the same luster as they used to for a couple reasons. For example, if you love gymnastics, did I mention I've called gymnastics? I think I'm going to for Big Ten Network. I'm feeling very good about myself. If you love gymnastics, and by the way, gymnastics generates monster ratings because women watch primarily. Last time I checked, more than half of the population are women. I know a couple women. I have a mother and I have a sister. Now it sounds like I'm running for political office. If you love gymnastics, you can watch it now year-round. SEC Network, and the now-defunct Pac-12 Network. My point is, when I was a kid, and I know it's a million years ago, the only time we saw sports like gymnastics was the Olympics. And they would roll around every 4 years, and then you would get your Mary Lou Retton moment, and then we would turn our attention back to football and basketball for 4 years. Because we have saturation coverage of everything, the Olympics are not as unique, but it's still a phenomenal platform to see the world's best come together, especially in hoops. Head coach of Serbia says Steve Kerr's Team USA, that's going to gather tomorrow in Las Vegas. The Olympics get underway at the end of the month. Basketball starts play on July 28th, so it's coming up. In addition to the official return of football, which I'm talking in less than 60 seconds with training camps, Ricky's reporting in roughly 15 days. Head coach of Serbia says Steve Kerr's team, led by LeBron and the Olympic debut of Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid, four MVPs right there. Serbian head coach claims this team is better than the dream team. Now that is a hot take, and we'll put it in context coming up. So we spent a good portion of the first program, much to the consternation of Cowboy Nation. And if you miss what I said, I'm not going to repeat it because I try to give you three distinct monologues. I know, novel concept, fresh content, when you have a great opportunity to have the ability to keep the chair warm for Rich. But if you missed anything from the first hour, reminder, you can listen to any portion of any program anytime you want. Our terrific digital team will push out the podcast just after the end of today's show. But I open with thoughts on the Cowboys using the non-story of Dak Prescott being photographed. Because remember, we're all now citizen journalists. Dak's on vacation in Cabo. He's getting ready to get on a boat to go deep sea fishing. And I am not an angler. While I have called water polo, horse jumping on TV, many years of tennis that you don't care about, arm wrestling, I got a crew cut for another $500 when I was working for Fox Sports Net. I have never done fishing. I'm not saying I wouldn't because I'm a broadcast courtesan, but I don't know anything about the physical challenges of reeling in a big one. Dak puts on a walking boot, as he tells reporters afterwards, because when he puts too much pressure on his foot, when he's fishing, either standing or, I guess, bracing himself, trying to reel one in, because I've seen enough competitive fishing because I have no life, he wears the boot as a preventative device because occasionally he has some pain after an ankle injury that was significant in 2020. That was the headline that Dak knocked down within 30 seconds. But I use that as a pivot point to talk about an absolutely atrocious offseason so far put together by the Dallas Cowboys. And again, we're not venturing into lava-filled hot takes. It's just factual. Tell me what they did to improve. Nothing. The significant offseason move was bringing back Ezekiel Elliott after he did nothing for the Patriots last year, because the Cowboys are stuck in, say, 1996. Unfortunately, Cowboy fans, the triplets ain't coming through that door. The other problem for Dallas is the division other than the broken Giants, and we'll address that coming up. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. 844-204-7424 is the number, or X me, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs, talking Steve Kerr's Olympic basketball team compared to the dream team coming up in just over 15 minutes. Washington will be better. And it's also, I think, a negative towards Dallas, because while I have a lot of respect for Mike Zimmer, based on my time in the NFL Network ranks and covering the Vikings and talking to Mike at owners' meetings, I don't just make this stuff up. Also, I watched the games. Minnesota's defense was not the problem during his tenure. I think they found out, as we saw by their unwillingness to give Kirk Cousins what he wanted, that Kirk has a ceiling. And while he is dependable and his numbers are largely in the top 15, show me the big games that Kirk Cousins has won, and I don't even have to go back to his horrendous record in primetime games. Mike Zimmer takes over the Dallas defense. I thought Dan Quinn did a very good job coaching up that side of the ball, especially with all the talent he has to utilize, led by Micah Parsons. Still, there's going to be a transition. With Dan now getting another shot at being a head coach in Washington, they've made some good free agent moves. Remember, they were not terrible last year. I realize, because that is as dysfunctional a franchise as Dallas, at least, let's say, past tense, with Dan Snyder's reign of terror in our nation's capital. But if you watch Washington, they were a quarterback away. As Ron Rivera said, remember when he destroyed Carson Wentz's confidence even further, When somebody asked him the difference between his team and the rest of the teams in the NFC East, he answered without a pause, quarterback. Remember that? And had to clean it up. That's how bad it's been in recent years. And now at least you have hope, because I think Jaden Daniels, when he gets the opportunity to play, and it should be week one because nobody waits anymore in the NFL, other than, say, Drake May, who should wait because he's got to work on fundamentals like his footwork, because it's a very different challenge getting the ball out, college football versus the NFL. And he's just going to have to speed things up. Got the big arm. I got no problems with the Patriots, who aren't going anywhere, going back to Jacoby Brissett as the bridge quarterback to get Drake May on the field. But you got a lot of upside in Jaden Daniels. If you watched him win the Heisman at LSU, he's an electrifying talent. So Washington will be better. Philadelphia, while they gave us many reasons to bash them because they were wildly erratic last year, is going to be much improved, if for no other reason, based on one addition, picking up Saquon Barkley and damaging the broken Giants in the process. So if you haven't seen the show I'm alluding to, and I'm not even fully aware of the motivation beyond the obvious financial component, why do we need an off-season edition of Hard Knocks? Now, if you're a football fan, you're going to tell me, hey, radio man, I'll take as much NFL as I can get, and I cannot counter that observation. I just don't know the point of the show, and I don't get why the Giants would put themselves under that kind of microscope, understanding they have editorial control, so they could edit out what they felt were really damaging scenes. Still, they took us through their thought process, and it was clear that the decision had already been arrived at, but they're aware the cameras are there, so they're freestyling the pros and cons of whether to lock Saquon Barkley up to a long-term deal. And ultimately, for reasons including that he's 27 years old, and now apparently, according to Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, 27 now is the Logan's Run number. That's a contemporary reference. Used to be you get to 30, the league thought you were washed as a running back. Now they've dropped it down to 27 because nobody cares about running backs in this league other than, say, Christian McCaffrey. That's apparently the list. And I think Saquon Barkley, to a different extent, because he's the perfect addition for what the Eagles do. Because remember, as we discussed with Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus, yesterday, if you were with us before the fireworks started, Philadelphia last few years has had anonymous 1,000-yard rushers because of their stellar offensive line and because Jalen Hurts is a threat to run as well. It comes down to the overall team offensive philosophy. Barkley, I realize he's dealt with injuries, when healthy, a top three running back, and Philadelphia still made the playoffs last year. Now, it was a massive drop-off. It was the rare pushback on the old Parcells principle. You are what your record says you are. Philadelphia, when they got the 10 wins early on, was not anything close, obviously, to the team that made the run to the Super Bowl. I think in large measure because they lost both coordinators. There were also reports of friction within that locker room. I don't pretend to be an NFL insider. Give them Saquon Barkley, and I think they go back to, so long as the defense can also flex their muscle, get back to sacking quarterbacks the kind of rate they did 2 years ago when they made it to the Super Bowl. Philadelphia back in the hunt on the short list of teams with a legitimate chance to win it all. And I think Saquon's going to be a part of that, because now you have a go-to reliable running back that can be another focal point in the offense that defenses have to game plan for and take away. So Saquon was a big part of the coverage of the kickoff edition of the off-season version of Hard Knocks, and it got A.J. Brown thinking. He went to social media. I'm not of the mindset that A.J. watched the whole show. He either resaw something that led him to believe the Giants were quote-unquote dissing Saquon, and the fact that they even let him get to the market tells you that they didn't want to be in business with him anymore. Here's what A.J. Brown posted on social media, and then he deleted, but remember, everything on the internet is written in pen. He vowed he's going to, quote, do everything in my power to make sure you get yours, fam, referring to his new teammate, Saquon Barkley. I'm not sure what he's talking about because Saquon got his. He got paid in a major way. Maybe he's talking about sticking it directly to the Giants when they go head-to-head twice this year as a divisional opponent. But if you know anything about high-level athletes, they're always looking for motivation. And one more negative consequence of the Giants' willingness to go on this show, evidently they just gave the Eagles, or at least a couple of them, and very important playmakers on offense, even more fuel in Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen. 844-204-7424 is our phone number, or you can X me. That's B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. Coming up in 25 minutes, we'll talk some baseball with Keith Law of The Athletic. I promise some thoughts on Tom Brady. I am not going to break down his mechanics playing touch football on the beach yesterday in the Hamptons, living his best life with Odell Beckham Jr. Damar Hamlin came up with the pick six. C.J. Stroud is there, all at the white party that Michael Rubin, the billionaire owner of Fanatics, puts together. But Brady said something interesting on a podcast. You might have heard of this new audio development. I think every member of this country now has one, other than yours truly. The Pivot podcast is very well done, with Ryan Clark as the lead host. Brady went on it and talked about what his mindset was like in the second half of his career, as opposed to, say, the approach that we see from Patrick Mahomes. And Brady mentioned that when he reflects on his unparalleled career, interestingly, he has some regrets, and he says that he wished in the second half of his career he could have played with the same kind of joy that he sees from Mahomes, and Brady claims he had early on, as opposed to being so one-dimensional, so dialed in. And Brady, being self-effacing, said he looks back and he wonders why he was so serious. Now, the answer would be because he had to be, because the difference between Mahomes and Brady is raw talent. Mahomes, beyond everything that he has with a football IQ, is a once-in-a-generation kind of thrower. Tell me somebody else who can make those kind of unbelievable plays on the move, improving the way Mahomes has done, building his Hall of Fame resume. But I thought it was interesting because it feels like to me, as Brady ramps up to become the face, not his old face, his new face, but the face of the NFL again, this time as a broadcaster, he is trying to humanize himself. What other motivation could he have had to have that roast? And when in doubt, say money. Ding, 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 according to reports. I'm here in Southern California, so obviously I am a Hollywood insider. Somebody at my cleaners told me, no, a better source than that, Brady walked away with $25 million. Don't quote me on that. That's just what people I know here in Los Angeles are saying. But whatever the number was, it was large, because if you watch the credits after what felt like a nine-hour show, Brady, in addition to getting roasted, was the executive producer. So that's another way of monetizing things. Why else would he go on that show? I'm waiting. He got absolutely annihilated. And I know they were jokes from friends, but man, you're a father. You are going through the fallout from a divorce. That had a sting on some level. And I don't think it was just jocularity. Hey, that's locker room talk. That had to leave a mark emotionally. So why was Brady there? I think because he's such a shrewd person, and that's beyond his physical skill set. That's why he's the GOAT with all those rings, because of his maniacal focus and his unparalleled work ethic. Brady went all in when he realized, okay, now I have this opportunity. I've won these initial Super Bowls as a high-end game manager. What can I do to my body? And what can I do with my quest to be the greatest, to take it to new heights? And we saw it. Whatever you view the techniques as, who knows what the TB12 was all about? From a distance, it feels like snake oil, but it worked for Brady. And I think he's taking that same precise approach to broadcasting. He's trying to humanize himself. So he sat on that dais and got pummeled by his buddies and a bunch of comedians who were biting and spot on because he wants to come across as, hey, do not view me as somebody on Mount Olympus. I may have a fake new hairstyle. I may have had a lot of work done to my face. I got all these rings, but I'm just like you. I want to watch the football game with you together that I'm going to broadcast. And talking about having fun, I think he's going to continue to emphasize that heading into the booth because he knows, as anybody in that high-profile role better know, every word he says is going to be scrutinized. Now, my only thought about Brady, and whatever he wants to do, he's going to do well at because of that work ethic. I just never heard him say anything particularly interesting. But the bar has changed. I don't enjoy Tony Romo at all. In fact, and I know a lot of you think I talk too much, here's my counter. It's a talk show. I guess you're saying dead air would be more interesting. Romo just never shuts the hell up. It is mindless blather. And it's clear he doesn't prepare as much. He didn't know the overtime rule at the Super Bowl. It was chaos in that booth. But the public isn't wrong. Many of you find him endearing. So I think Brady, as he prepares for the next chapter, is trying to connect to the mass audience to make him seem more human because he knows there's going to be some bumps in the first few games. Is he going to be Joe Montana? No one was bad as Joe. Joe said he realized during a middle of an NBC studio segment, he did not want to be on that set. That thought hit him in the head saying, what am I doing? I want to be anywhere but here. And he quit at the end of the season. He's not going to be as bad as Emmitt Smith. He's not going to be as bad as Jason Witten. But I don't know what he's going to be because other than in recent months, Tom Brady never revealed himself to us. He became this statue of a man, literally. Take a look at his pictures from year two in the league to what he looks like now. There's been a remarkable transformation. But knowing his quest for greatness, I think because he's going to be so committed to it, by the end of the season, we're going to be talking about Brady being a breakout star, but he also knows you only get that first shot in game one to make a strong impression. And I think walking in the booth, he's trying to say to all of us, hey, ma'am, I realize I come across as this dude in the film vault, and effectively, I ruined my marriage to play another year with the Buccaneers. I'm human like you. Give me a chance to learn on the job, and I think he's going to pull it off. And obviously, I am an expert at all things broadcasting because I'm in for Rich Eisen, 844-204-7424, a little sarcasm there. And I have a last name that you should remember, but I want you to drop one B because if you're thinking about the grill, it's all about Weber, W-E-B-E-R, fill the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear all on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot. In 15 minutes, clean up, very easy. You can cook on two levels at the same time, so you can make enough for everyone. You can add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. And because I'm obviously a broadcast expert, I do not have Weber grill money. If I was part of that family, if I could have lost the B as a kid, I would have been smart enough to choose another profession. But enough about my histrionics. Coming up, less than 20 minutes, we're talking baseball in entertaining fashion with Keith Law of The Athletic. What is wrong with the Yankees? Straight ahead, I mentioned we're getting closer to the Olympics. In fact, Team USA in basketball starts their preparations tomorrow in Las Vegas. Then they have an exhibition against Canada next week. So, is it fair in any way to compare Steve Kerr's collection of talent to the singular skill set we saw from the Dream Team. That is coming up, all part of a very busy Friday edition of the program. Weber and Ferrazin, this is The Rich Eisen Show.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service, they'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, everybody, this just in. It's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game during the summer. I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do, and you should too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals, the all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase, views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat, and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Brian Weber with you, and I'm proudly sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Keep the momentum going on the X platform. Hit me up there. That's B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. I have fallen into the habit of emptying the bucket at the top of the hour. So, given clock management skills like the great Rich Kotite used to display, watching those terrible Jet teams of my youth, we're going to go with brevity here to make sure we have ample time for a long-form baseball conversation with Keith Law of The Athletic. Should we just write it down in Sharpie, Phillies versus the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series, and we'll round the bases going round the bigs with Keith coming up. We have made history this week. Well, as a fill-in host, what kind of milestones can you really achieve? Today, as we are now 90 minutes in, halfway mark has been achieved. I have not talked more than 90 seconds of NBA in this program prior to here. And technically, I'm not talking NBA. Now, it's NBA players, but I'm jumping into the greatness of international basketball, where they have a trapezoid lane. Offensive goaltending is legal. When the ball's on the rim, you can knock it down in the Olympics, and now you know the rest of the story. If you're jonesing for the NBA, even though they completely destroyed the drama of what used to be a great week of content with NBA free agency, all with this ridiculous new CBA to give billionaire owners cover for doing nothing, the NBA is back on the floor tomorrow. Not the good version, if there is a good version of the Summer League, but the California Classic tipping off in Sacramento. The Lakers playing, that means breathless analysis of Bronny James, which I cannot do. But coming up in 30 minutes, because the audience is always sliding in and sliding out. We're going to take one final pass at a summation of all the moves this week. Fundamentally, did anything change at the top of the balance of power? But as I mentioned, no disrespect to Buddy Hield. In fact, I call everyone Buddy, so I should really appreciate Buddy. And I know he's a poor man's Klay Thompson. They're just looking for a cheaper version, a bootleg bougie version of the Splash Brothers, Buddy next to Steph. When we got to Buddy Hield winding up at Golden State yesterday, that's when I tapped out. But I will give you my final assessment of NBA free agency. I am not going to watch 1 minute of the Summer League. I watched last year begrudgingly, not only because it's my occupation, but I was fascinated to see what Wembanyama would do because I only seen clips on YouTube. And everything we saw in those very small nuggets foreshadowed what was a sensational rookie year. This guy's a unicorn. If you look at what he did per minute, I know it's getting a little bit nerdy, but you can't just look at the raw stats. Per minute tells you the context of what he did when he was on the floor. As good an array of rookie stats as we've seen since Michael Jordan. He was that profound. I'm not paying any attention to what happens in this cycle because I'm not an NBA blogger nor an NBA podcaster. I will be watching Olympic basketball because I love that tournament. In fact, in 1984, USA, USA, I attended a ticker tape parade in Manhattan in New York City, celebrating our 84 Olympians led by America's sweetheart, Mary Lou Retton. And I got Leon Wood. That is an obscure name. In fact, he went on to be an NBA ref. Leon Wood signed some ticker tape that I piled up because I couldn't get anybody who was good on that 84 team. That 84 team was loaded. Jordan didn't even play that much. But if we're thinking about transcendent Olympic basketball teams, it's open and shut. 92 Dream Team changed everything. Also, as a byproduct, the game became far more global. Just process what we saw at the NBA draft. And we don't know most of these Euros, but it's another reflection of the globalization of hoops. How about the current league? Let's just go through the MVPs. Joker and Embiid and Doncic is going to win one. The game has become second only to soccer as the most international sport of them all. Dream Team largely responsible for that. However, when I heard the comments from the Serbian head coach, and I'm sure he's just spinning somehow to get some more pressure on Steve Kerr's team that is going to start their workouts tomorrow in Vegas and then have an exhibition against Canada in Nevada on Wednesday. When the Serbian head coach said that this team, led by LeBron and Steph making his Olympic debut and Joel and Durant, is better than the Dream Team, I thought this guy is auditioning to fill in for Rich next summer. Because that is a monumental hot take. Now, maybe the way to frame it would be like this. This is the best collection of talent we've had since the Dream Team. That's fair. And in fact, given the depth of this team, there are early reports that LeBron's going to come off the bench for long stretches of play. And I think Bron's cool with that. He's already won a gold. And it's not like he's going to the moon for these Olympics. These guys are going to Paris. So, yes, patriotism and the reward of playing for your nation are on the line, but you're also going to the City of Light. It's not like the Olympics are in Toledo. No disrespect to my friends in Ohio. So, as you get ready to watch these games, and it's not a slam dunk we're going to win, because the world is caught up and Serbia is a power and France is going to be spectacular. Think about how passionate those crowds are going to be. Just appreciate what you're going to see. Because while no team in any sport will ever touch the Dream Team, and I don't have to go through the whole roster, if we're going to go position by position, that's just lame and tedious. But this roster, led by Steve Kerr, has 12 All-Stars and 4 MVPs. And put it this way, if the United States doesn't win gold with this group, we're now getting lapped by the rest of the world. And I say we because even though a Canadian and Dr. James Naismith invented the sport, right here in American soil in Springfield, Mass. I'm Brian Weber, in for Rich Eisen. Hit me up on the X. That's BW Weber. Weber with two B's, as promised. We make the move to baseball coming up. Will we see more magic from Pirates rookie phenom Paul Skeens tonight as he matches up against the Mets? And after banning the shift, Why are pitchers still so dominant? We'll find out when we check in with Keith Law of The Athletic. That is straight ahead right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast, wherever you listen.
Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen. This is the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-7424. Or you can communicate with me on the X platform. That's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Always a pleasure to talk baseball with Keith Law. Check out his outstanding work at The Athletic. Keith, thanks so much for taking the time during this holiday week. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing really well. And I'm really glad that the schedule aligned to chat with you today, because Paul Skenes is on the mound, and you spent so much time devoting your energies towards player evaluation and development. I'm someone who loves college baseball, so I was aware of Skenes at LSU. No surprise, he was the number one overall pick, and he's been brilliant since making his major league debut for the Pirates. 4-0, ERA less than 2.1. Keith, has he even surpassed your expectations so far?
Well, he has, because he's changed. You know, for folks who haven't followed him much, when he was at LSU, he was primarily a two-pitch guy, four-seamer, slider, and he was probably best known for the four-seamer because he would sit, routinely sit 99 to 100, hit 102 the game I saw him against Alabama last spring. I think he was 96 to 102, and he is huge. He's 6'6". He's listed at 230. That's a lie. He looks the part of a workhorse starter, but you could argue, too, the fastball was kind of straight. You didn't really have a third pitch for lefties. We went out and added a pitch he calls the splinker, which is a two-seamer but gripped like a splitter. And it's actually been his most effective pitch this year. He's throwing it almost a third of the time. By StatCast data, it is by far his best pitch. Hitters are having a really hard time with it. It's really effective against righties and lefties. So he is kind of a different guy. Not that he didn't deserve to be the first overall pick, but I think it's really incredible for a guy who's 21, 22 years old to be the first pick, go out in the offseason and say, yeah, I need to add another pitch, and then show up the next spring, and it's the best thing in his arsenal.
Keith, I don't want to fall into the habit of lazy analysis with the comp game, but because you follow this so closely, are there parts of his game that remind you of other marquee pitchers we've seen?
Well, I think the obvious one, because there's some physical resemblance to, particularly in their build, is Clemens. Now, it's not exactly the same delivery. And obviously, Clemens, there's a lot of other baggage we don't have to get into on that one. But when Clemens was kind of peak Clemens, too, he was working a lot fastball splitter. And, you know, to me, that is kind of Skenes. It's what Skenes is probably going to be, with a little more use of the slider. He's kind of deprecated the slider a lot this year because that splinker has been so effective for him. And they both have that sort of thick, strong lower half that they can generate a lot of velocity from that. You know, part of, and I emphasize part of, how Clemens stayed healthy was that he had kind of those tree trunk legs, the Nolan Ryan build that everyone wants to say, well, Nolan Ryan pitched forever. Yeah, Nolan Ryan was standing on a couple of redwoods. So they don't all look like that. But his Skenes kind of does. And readers were asking me, well, do you think he's going to blow out? Is he going to need Tommy John? I can't predict that. If I could, I'd probably make a lot more money. But if I were going to bet on a really hard thrower to stay healthy, it would be guys who look like Skenes and pitch like Skenes, getting that energy from their legs.
Talking baseball with Keith Law. Terrific content available on The Athletic. Keith, you mentioned Skeens touching 102. We're now seeing mile per hour readings of 104, somewhere in there. To me, all of this is almost mind-boggling. I'm in my mid-50s, and these numbers just seem to be going up and up. Are we getting to a place like it was Roger Bannister breaking the four-minute mile, and since then, we keep knocking that number down? Are we going to get to a time in our lifetime that guys are going to touch 106, maybe 110 miles per hour?
My gut says no. That's probably a better question for people who study kinesiology and know what the body's capable of. And I also should admit, when I first heard that guys like Chapman were throwing 104, 105, I was a little skeptical because we'd never seen it before. Your immediate reaction is that even possible? I think we're probably seeing something around the peak. Now, I think the record for StatCast is a touch over 105. You know, maybe somebody gets up to 106. We might see these gradual improvements. I'd be really surprised if somebody came along who could throw 110 and do it enough that he can last, right? It's not that nobody could throw a single pitch at that velocity at some point. Some unicorn shows up and can do that. But can they do it often enough to be just a professional pitcher without getting hurt? There's just so much stress on the arm from throwing at your maximum velocity. If we know anything about what leads to Tommy John's, that seems to be it. The guys who are constantly throwing at their peak velocity. Well, somebody who hits 110, that's their peak velocity. And if that person even exists, I feel like there's a pretty good chance they're just going to get hurt before they can do anything with it in pro ball.
We thought it was Sid Finch, and then we all got played. That was a hoax years ago in the 1980s. Well, since we're talking about the dominance of pitching, that gets me to another topic I wanted to cover with you. The whole point of limiting the shift was supposed to help offensive numbers get the ball in play more frequently. But you know, and I'm just pointing out to casual fans, right now the league-wide batting average is on pace to be the worst since the year of the pitcher, 1967, and Bob Gibson is not currently playing. So we understand things run in cycles. Do you expect a correction at some point, or is pitching just that dominant?
Well, you're right. Pitching is just that dominant, and I think we're going to have to see some kind of exogenous change. Somebody has to come in from outside and change something to get back into better balance. And I think the most likely way to see that is some kind of introduction of the automated strike zone. Now, it could just be a challenge system. We've seen that in the fall league. We've seen that in AAA, where hitters or catchers or pitchers can challenge individual pitches, but they're not all called by machine. I'm okay with that. I do think eventually we are going to see a full automated strike system, but that's going to take time. Even if, say, next year they introduce the challenge system, that's going to force a lot of pitchers to work within the strike zone more, which means they're going to have to take a little something off, right? You can't throw at your maximum velocity and have your maximum command. So that would mean pitchers aren't throwing as hard or not with as much spin or as much movement, trying to throw more strikes. That should lead to more offense, because ultimately I think pitchers right now, they're too good and they have too much of an advantage, and the strike zone is probably too big, especially those pitches off the edges of the strike zone, the hardest ones to hit and put in play for hits. When those get called strikes, hitters just have too much of a disadvantage.
All logical. I'm Brian Weber in for Rich Eisen. We are spotlighting MLB with Keith Ball of The Athletic. Keith, not too long ago, the Yankees were playing 700 baseball, and that's not really sustainable. But since then, and I realize we can put things into segments and chunks, smaller sample size, over the last 5 weeks or so, they have the worst record in all of baseball. So if you had to isolate a few issues that have been slowing the Yankees down, what would they be?
It seems like they came out pitching way better than I think anyone expected. And that's, you know, they didn't have Gerrit Cole for the most of the season to date. And they had a couple of guys pitching just way better than expectations. I don't want to say above their heads because they're pretty talented. Luis Gil, for example, you know, comes out with a changeup that the Yankees say he's always had, but he really didn't use it much. And they just emphasized to him very heavily, hey, you got to use this pitch. This is a good pitch. Going to make you a better pitcher, and it did. And I do think he can be that guy again going forward, but as he scuffled, as Gerrit Cole hasn't pitched like Gerrit Cole from last year, as they haven't gotten the production expected from Carlos Rodon, I mean, at least he's healthy, so I can't complain too much, but it's turned out he's been very homer prone. They miss Clark Schmidt. He's on the injured list and probably going to be on the injured list for a long time here. I don't want to say that that wasn't the pitching they had wasn't sustainable. I agree with you, playing 700 balls, obviously not sustainable. But they came out just preventing runs at a much better pace than anyone expected, that has tapered off. And I think that's not the only problem, but certainly a big part of why they have scuffled the last couple of weeks.
Keith, outstanding analysis as always. I am a subscriber to The Athletic. I always learn something when I read your content, and I greatly appreciate you taking the time to join us today on The Rich Eisen Show.
My pleasure.
Keith Law, check out all of his outstanding work. It's The Athletic. They have combined with The New York Times, so you can read Keith in print. Now you're probably saying, wait a minute, print? Let me take you back, depending generationally. And I now get side-eye at the gym. Yes, I go to the gym. Thankfully, we're not on the simulcast on the great Roku channel, because I bring a couple newspapers because I'm going to put the time in on that elliptical, right? I'm just trying to distract myself. But I have a running battle. This is more minutia than you need, but I'm going to make a point here. It's always the same people because we all fall into rhythms, and I don't have a 9-to-5, so I go middle of the day when it's empty. I like one machine by the window, which I like to raise the blind so I get a little more light because my eyes are going, but I'm too vain to get glasses. And same time I go, the same dude shows up, and he's watching reruns of Dexter or something on his phone, and he's claiming the glare now is interfering with him enjoying the show. So we have this back and forth that is among the dumbest fights I have ever been in. And I am petty, believe me. I've gotten into some stupid arguments and held my ground just to say I was right. But Keith, with that kind of analysis, is even more hard-hitting when he has a chance to stretch out in print. I'm not telling you how to spend your money, but if you want quality content other than this, which of course is absolutely free thanks to the generosity of Rich Eisen, keep in mind that you have options out there, and I'd recommend The Athletic. And if you were paying attention when I asked Keith about comps for Paul Skeens, and he was talking about the longevity of Roger Clemens, and he said it wasn't just his lower core. That was a PED reference. And at some point, there's going to be a reckoning for the Hall of Fame. I don't know when it's going to be. I think it's generational. We're going to have more and more, if we still have young writers, and that's a whole separate conversation. But as the rank and file of the Baseball Writers Association gets younger, I think they're going to have a different view of performance-enhancing drugs. I'm not justifying it, and I'm in that sweet spot where I was so lucky to be a young broadcaster following my baseball dream. I was 23 and hosting the Oakland A's, co-hosting the Oakland A's pregame show. Now, I was not Woodward and Bernstein. I was not walking around the Oakland Alameda Coliseum looking for syringes. Evidently, they were there, because on that team, you had Canseco and McGuire. I'm not justifying what occurred. I do think context matters, and the problem is not everybody was using. So how do you now go back and discern Barry Bonds' pre-usage versus post-usage? Plus, they're all still lying and denying it. So baseball's got a huge, complicated way of dealing with things moving forward. But yes, if you're asking me, is Barry Bonds a Hall of Famer? Of course he is, because he was a Hall of Famer before he arrived in San Francisco, and he didn't bulk up until after he saw Sosa McGuire getting all the adulation and said, I want that kind of love. And here I am representing the problems of baseball. We're trying to focus on today with a star in the making like Paul Skeens, and knee-jerk reaction takes me back to 1998. I'm Brian Weber. I'm going to be more current. I pledge that coming up. One more pass at NBA free agency. After all the moves and all the analysis, did anything really change atop the hierarchy of the association? That's coming up on The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast.
Season 4, I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy, because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.